Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair All-Americans as a part of the Armchair Media Network. Imagine thinking DK Metcalf can't play in the NFL because of his three cone. Couldn't be us. It is I, Rob Paul, the Armchair Scout, a.k.a. the Czar of Senior Bowl acceptance announcements. And with me, as always, is AJ Moore Minshew Marchese.
I'm going off the rails on a crazy train.
Okay. Today, we're going to break down all the rookies that caught our eyes in week 9 of the NFL. Then we'll preview and pick the week 10 matchups. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby. Going out to Vegas, maybe. Looking for a young or a 2-0. Don't draft a running back on the first day. Don't draft a running back on the second day. Maybe draft one on the third. Or don't. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
As a true football fan, you already know, just as sure as the season's changed, Tom Brady will keep the Patriots in the game, baby. Every weekend, our favorite gridiron warriors put their skills to the test. So why aren't you doing the same? We're almost halfway through the NFL season. Correction, we are halfway through the NFL season. So now is the time, even more than almost halfway through, to get off the sidelines and get in on the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college action every weekend. That's football. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sportsbook on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a big much rub, parlay, pick your locks for the week, put them together in one parlay bet, and when they all come through, the rewards will be huge. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game, baby. Best part is, if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they will give you $1,000. That's double your initial deposit. You can use on all of your favorite picks. All you got to do is use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid, MyBookie.
Well, you heard yesterday's episode. Welcome to today's episode.
Thank you.
And just like yesterday's episode, we'll start with the Senior Bowl acceptance tracker. Whole lot of acceptances since yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
A whole heap of them. So we'll quickly go through those before we jump into the NFL rookie talk.
It's honestly a good thing that we have the second show, or else we would have way too many next week.
We'll still have way too many next week.
It's true.
Just considering how many guys accepted today. First, a pair of receivers. Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State and Antonio Gandy-Golden from Liberty.
Both really exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I would say two of the 10 senior receivers I would be hoping end up in Mobile.
Quickly, Ayuk obviously one of the fastest risers among wide receivers this season.
Yeah, definitely kind of came out of nowhere. He's been a yak machine for them. Really good build. I've seen Michael Gallup comparisons, which is a hot comparison to have right now considering how well he has played recently.
It makes sense to me, too. And Antonio Gandy-Golden, obviously, I think we can say the best of the group of five wide receivers.
I'd have to put it on paper, but quite possibly.
Yeah, I respect that you thought through that and then had to say you had to write it down. But I think he is.
Do you want me to really put the effort into checking?
No, but I don't.
But with him, he's a guy who separation ability is mm-hmm. a huge question in route running. And obviously the Senior Bowl is the perfect place to show you've improved on those types of things.
Definitely.
But also one of the best contested catch receivers in the entire country, if you ask me.
It'll be a huge week for him.
And I went ahead and confirmed, yes, he's my highest rated Group of Five receiver.
See?
By a fairly significant margin.
Also for me, yeah.
I think James Prochet is probably two, though.
I think he's also my two.
Who will also be at the Senior Bowl.
Whoa.
And then... because yesterday we were talking about the tight ends that could possibly be there in the two we got yesterday. Today, we got my number one tight end in the entire class. Bryson Hopkins from Purdue accepted his Senior Bowl invite. A dude who I think can be a potential top 60 pick. I don't think, at this point, I don't think any of the tight ends are going to end up being first round picks. I think that...
Barring great performances in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I believe that's fairly strongly, even though it's only early November. I definitely think Hopkins could be a top 60 guy, second round guy. We literally talked about him yesterday because of his performance against Nebraska. Just a seam buster. Reminds me a bit of Mark Andrews. Great size. I'm excited to see him. And then two more offensive linemen. First, Texas Tech offensive tackle Terrence Steele.
Mm-hmm.
A guy I think could be a kind of quiet riser. He's a guy I have him in my, I think, top 120 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like his size a lot in athleticism and just fits the bill of the type of guy who if he puts on a show in pass protection drills and shows clean footwork, I think can do a lot for himself.
Yep.
And then Ben Bartsch, offensive lineman from St. John's, who nobody really knows a whole lot about. Tip of the hat to Jim Nagy for always finding guys we don't really know.
It's pretty impressive how many small school, low-key, especially offensive linemen we've gotten already accepting their offer.
Yeah, and Bartsch, I looked into him a little bit. 6'6", 305. First 2 years at St. John's, played tight end. Then as a junior and senior, played offensive tackle, obviously. And so probably going to be a pretty good athlete at the position.
You'd hope so, at least, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm usually with those small school offensive linemen, especially with him, he's a Division III offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
With those small school guys, they get there because of the athletic potential.
Yeah, for sure. Too bad he didn't play basketball at St. John's.
Also, I always love having a really small... I mean, the FCS guys are fun. We talked about one yesterday. From South Carolina State, Taylor.
Yep.
But getting the guys who like fit the bill of just such a small school that the tape is grainy and you don't really know, like they're so clearly the NFL prospect on the field.
We're talking Alex Kappa and Ali Marpet.
Yeah, like fitting that, I love that.
Me too. They're always so much fun. Yeah.
And I think the biggest get so far is South Carolina interior defensive lineman Javon Kinlaw.
I also agree. We talked about him yesterday, and I think if we could have anyone in the interior defensive line group, I would choose Kinlaw. So we already got him, and I'm happy, Rob.
Yeah, just an absolute freak of nature with the size, length, physicality, and explosiveness. He has a chance to, I think, lock himself into a top 20 selection in Mobile.
Yeah, yes, agreed.
And joining him on the interior defensive line, North Carolina State's Laurel Murchison, who's got... He'll have a game where he absolutely takes over Florida State this year, for example, and I believe Virginia game last year. And he's one of those more undersized three techs, like 6'2", 290-ish, one-gap penetrating dudes.
Yeah,
Who adds a ton as a pass rusher because the short area quickness. So I think this is a good place for him to like solidify a potential top 100 pick for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And just show that he's got the consistent ability to win. And then a pair of Minnesota defenders. First,
yes,
my boy, Carter Coughlin.
Yeah, how excited are you about that?
I'm so happy. He's going to be interesting to see if they play him on the edge as a like a pass rusher or off ball in Mobile, because he's 6'3", 245. He plays a true like edge 3-4 outside role for the Golden Gophers.
Yep.
I think he is one of the most underrated pass rushers in the country. He's a guy I would bang the table for, one of my favorite prospects. Uses his hands really well, multiple moves, got some flexibility to bend the edge. I like his first step a lot. So, seeing what spot he's playing in Mobile is going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
And if they play him at off ball, seeing if he can consistently cover tight ends and backs.
Yep.
And then joining him, teammate Kamal Martin, also a linebacker. I haven't seen anything on him, to be completely honest.
Me neither, so we're in the same boat.
I haven't seen him, and him and obviously the St. John's offensive lineman. Those are the two guys I haven't seen yet. So got to dig in on Martin. Obviously, last year we had our boy Blake Cashman, Minnesota linebacker, coming out of nowhere. So,
yep,
could be another one. And then in the at defensive back, Kendall Wilder, corner from Georgia Southern, who we both really like. He looks like a potential nickel. Not the biggest dude in the world, but feisty as hell. I like him a lot.
So do I.
And then Oklahoma State corner AJ Green, who's like a very different type of corner than Wilder. He's tall, lean, press man, outside dude.
Yep.
He'll be a nice guy to have match up with the receivers we already have there. And then two safeties. Obviously, we got Jeremy Chin yesterday. Joining him, another small school guy. Lenoir Rhines, Kyle Duggar.
Spent a lot of talk about him, especially for a small school
guy. Yeah, he's been like, he was like the OG of the small school guys to have hype entering the year. I think he's got a chance to be one of the, like, I'm quite high on him. I like his physicality a lot. I like his build. He's like 6'2", 215, 220.
Yeah.
Like, really puts his body on the line as a tackler. Him and Chin, I think, have a chance to be, like, at least fourth round picks. I like them both. Both a lot. And then Kevon Wallace from Clemson. I'm not a big Kevon Wallace guy. I feel like that's just, he's been starting in that defensive backfield for a while.
Yeah.
He's made big plays. You kind of, like, it's just pedigree there.
Yeah, no. Makes sense. I mean, again, I agree with you. I wasn't the hugest fan, but we'll see. I mean, the Senior Bowl is the truest test, Rob, in my opinion.
The Senior Bowl is the greatest thing. But it also has its negatives where...
It does.
A guy dominates... Hassan Reddick dominates the Senior Bowl, and you're like, this is a dude. And then, no, it's not. The Senior Bowl can trick you.
I fell in love with Penny Hart, and I mean,
he's
on the Seahawks practice squad right now, I think, still. So,
but then on the other side, there's Aaron Donald is the most dominant Senior Bowl performance I've ever seen.
Yes.
So.
Hassan Reddick's still good. I'm not giving up on him.
Oh, he's still good, eh? Couple years he's in. Okay.
Yeah, I still believe in him. Wrong system.
Just let him pass rush. Let him do what he did at Temple.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
I can't wait till the quarterbacks are getting announced. I don't know if that'll be anytime soon. I feel like the smart play for a quarterback is to wait. But
if it's like a more low-key guy that got an invite, I mean, they should be running to accept.
No, I agree with that. I mean, like,
yeah,
the Justin Herberts of the world.
Those will be late, for sure.
I have a feeling there's going to be one quarterback that's kind of like a shocker. Like, you know how, like, you could go through, like, the eight quarterbacks you think it's going to be, and, like, these eight make the most sense. This is going to be who it is. I think there's going to be, like, a Mason Fine or something will be there.
Ooh.
Or, like, James Morgan from FIU. Like, one of those, like, group of five quarterbacks who, like, you've seen some people on draft Twitter talk about them a little bit, and you like certain things about them. I think one of those guys is going to end up being there.
There always is, right?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Well, I wish we could prop bet on who would get the Senior Bowl invites.
It feels pretty risky.
I'm in if you're in.
Okay. We'll figure this out for a future episode.
We'll get a bookie to set some lines for us.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Done with Senior Bowl talk. Jumping into our new second podcast of the week. We did the midway rookie team last week. Obviously, this week we're jumping right into the rookie superlatives. And first, we're gonna open every rookie superlative week with the rookie QB rundown. So we'll just go with each of the starting rookie quarterbacks. We'll talk about them a little bit and what our thoughts were. And lucky, next week we'll get to talk Ryan Finley. So I'm pretty excited for next week's episode.
But no Gardner Minshew.
Spoiler. Let's start with Kyler Murray. He played first of the rookie quarterbacks, obviously playing on Thursday night. Threw for 241, two scores, ran for another 34 in a losing effort to the 49ers. I came away impressed.
As did I, Rob. I thought this, maybe not his best performance of the season, but definitely a really good one against a top three defense in the NFL right now.
Yes, so. And the scariest pass rush in the NFL with people like Justin Pugh starting at right tackle for you.
Yeah.
And Jarrett Sweezy beside him at guard.
Oh, no. kept them in this game, obviously. Kyler Murray was really good, man, and I think he keeps getting better. Even if
that's the thing, the
statistics aren't there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, every week, Kyler and Cliff Kingsbury seem to just be jailing more and more. And I know, like you said, the stats haven't always been there. This game was pretty good statistically, but obviously he went a couple games in a row without throwing a touchdown. But he looked good. He looked comfortable. And they're doing this with a lack of consistent weapons. I mean, Kenyon Drake stepped up in the game, but their offensive line is nothing. Like, Kyler looks like a guy who's got all the potential to be what we thought he could be, and deserving of that number one pick. It's gonna be awkward when he's better than Baker Mayfield.
What happened to 2018? I'm glad we're not doing a 2018 podcast.
Just gushing. And Baker is the next Drew Brees.
Or even just talking with those guys now.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awfully depressing.
Depressing, yeah.
Josh Allen is clearly the second best quarterback after Lamar.
Imagine doing a podcast where you just follow one draft class through all of history.
Okay, I'm sold.
That's my pitch. We'll do it with this class. Next year we'll just follow we'll do the sophomore pod.
I like that a lot. Okay. Anywho, yeah, I thought Kyler looked pretty great.
He was good, yeah.
All things considered. And short week against one of the best defenses in the league. I think he's been the most consistent of the rookie quarterbacks as well. Like, he hasn't had some god-awful performance.
Yeah. I mean, it's close between him and Minshew. Spoiler alerts. But, yeah, I agree with you, Ralph. I agree.
Okay, speaking of Minshew, jumping to him. Obviously, this week, Doug Marrone came out and announced that Nick Foles is going to be their quarterback coming off the bye. So, for week 11, Minshew heads back to the bench. I think ultimately that this was going to be the move anyway because of how much money they gave Nick Foles.
Exactly. I agree with that.
But it sure looked even more justifiable after how Minshew played against the Texans. Threw for 309, but two picks.
Two fumbles.
Two fumbles. I think Daniel Jones is the only person who's fumbled more than him this year.
they're keeping together pretty well, though.
Yeah. It was not a great... he couldn't find much consistency. The Texans' DBs played better than they've been playing as well. I thought Gary McCall had a nice game.
No, it's true.
But yeah,
he really just didn't move the ball much. Like Fournette wasn't very good, and you know what I mean.
Yeah, Minshew doesn't have the ability right now to just carry this offense and make it take it up a notch. And
can't blame him for.
No, definitely not. He's a 6th round rookie. That's the other thing. People make this is a strong point. If he was taken in the 1st round, we'd be gushing over him. Even after a game like this, you know what I mean? It'd be he's a 1st-round rookie. He's gonna have his bumps, but it's because of the situation that and them obviously going back to Nick Foles because they paid him an insane amount of money. where it's like more like I feel like people the Minshew hype has died down because of it.
Two things on the same point. One, if Minshew was theoretically a first round pick or a first round pick was playing with like this, I don't think they go back to Nick Foles.
I think I would agree, but if they took him in the first round, they wouldn't pay Nick Foles that money, so it's hard to like think about it that way.
I'm just saying in general, like as a, you know, a Matt Flynn, Russell Wilson situation. I know he's not a first round pick, but I'm just saying. Two, I almost think like too much in the NFL, where a guy is drafted is almost like we focus on that too much.
Yes.
Like obviously first round picks are just given sometimes too long of a leash and sixth round picks too short of a leash, right?
Yeah.
No, we're like, when definitely. Here it's a sixth round rookie, you just expect him to eventually fall back down to earth, right? Yeah,
100%.
Which isn't fair.
No. So I'm sad the Minshew experience is over, but what a time that was. And then, okay, Dwayne Haskins threw for 144 against the Bills and not a whole lot else going on for that offense.
Didn't turn it over. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he just, the way he played and the way the game was called, it just felt like they know he's not ready. He doesn't seem ready.
Yeah.
And it's like, did he play awful? No. He didn't play, like, I didn't think he looked very confident.
Yeah.
I also didn't love the game plan they went. Like, I think Dwayne Haskins could be a really strong play action pass, deep ball passer, but they didn't go play action too frequently. I mean, again, it doesn't help with what's around him. And
for Haskins, the situation is just such a mess. Obviously, he doesn't have a head coach really right now.
It's almost a, they named him the starter again this week. Hopefully
it sounded like they almost didn't for a second.
I know, which would have been absolutely ridiculous.
Agreed.
It's just gonna be so hard for him. Every team that is in a situation like this where they take a first round quarterback and like it just doesn't look good at all through rookie year needs to, because in that situation a lot of the time I think the head coach is
bad.
Yes. Needs to go and find that. I'm not trying to make it sound easy to find a Sean McVay, but at least take a swing on that young offensive mind.
Yeah,
which I don't think he'll do.
No, I mean, you know, they'll probably be like, look at what happened with Adam Gase and Sam Darnold, and use that as a reason, which doesn't make any sense.
I don't know who wants that Washington job, but I mean, who would you hire for if you're Washington trying to get this thing turned around with Dwayne Haskins?
You mentioned Bieniemy last week. I think that would make sense.
Yeah, he seems like a guy who would not take the job because he knows he can get a better one. I think Bieniemy's gonna end up with the Falcons if I had to guess.
Yeah,
would they just hire like Robert Saleh? But if they hired Robert Saleh and he could bring LaFleur's brother to be his offensive coordinator, then it starts getting pretty interesting for Washington.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. And like Saleh could walk in and have like that defense good in a year, maybe.
Yeah, the front seven. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, and then finally, Daniel Jones struggled against the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. 3 for 210 in a score, but lost 2 fumbles through an interception. The king of fumbling, some call him.
He is, honestly.
Daniel Jones isn't bad.
He's not.
It's going to be so annoying talking about Daniel Jones the next couple of years because I think he is exactly what we thought he was. He is this somewhere between like a Ryan Tannehill and an Alex Smith at quarterback where he's not overly exciting, but he can add a little bit on the ground.
I'm glad they're letting him do that too.
Yes.
Because they're running a lot of zone read, and like he was just handing it off, and there was a massive side open. Yeah, you know, they're just crashing it. And then he finally kept one, right?
So, anyways. I don't think Pat Shurmur's going to be the head coach next year. So bringing in that right offensive mind is going to be extremely important. But like taking advantage of what he does well, the RPOs, the play action shots, the get the ball out of his hand quick to playmakers in space because they have the playmakers when they're all healthy. I think he'll be an okay starting quarterback for a while. Like I don't think he's gonna be anything special. But I don't think he's some horrible bust. I wouldn't have taken him where they took him, but like,
is he better than you anticipated?
No. Like, he is. This makes it sound so cocky, but like, he is what I thought he was.
Yeah, I'll give him a.
I think he's a Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. I mean,
I'll give him a little credit to say that I think he's been a little bit better passing downfield than I give him credit for. But other than that, I agree with you. Yeah, kind of just what you
like. Expected. I think like he'll not be a top 20 quarterback, but like he'll put up okay numbers enough to justify him being the starting quarterback. Like I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of excitement with him. Hell, it's so early to be like, sounds like I'm crucifying the guy.
But I know. And he's like, as a rookie, he's not been bad.
No. You've seen flashes. Obviously, he's been struggling more lately. But there's also been, like I said, I don't think Shermer's going to be the coach. Or at least, I don't think he should be.
All his skill position guys have gotten hurt at some point this year.
Yeah, and the offensive line's had its issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's tough. Okay, that's enough of depressing rookie quarterback talk. let's jump over to some positive talk. Who do you got? It doesn't have to be one guy. There was a couple guys who have big weeks, but who's your rookie of the week?
Number one, you know who I have to pick, Rob. DK Metcalf.
Yeah, that's
wide receiver.
Also my number one.
Yeah, his first 100-yard game in his career. I mean, not just statistically, but I think his best game of his career.
Yeah, the huge touchdown really showed off what he can do.
Should have been game-winning touchdown on the crossing route, took it up the sideline, and just he's gone. 6 for 123 in that touchdown. Also, I thought the ball adjustment catch on the game-winning drive while getting face masks that wasn't called, that was so impressive.
I still can't believe people were so out on him.
It didn't make sense.
I think generally the people who were so out on him weren't actual people scouting him. It was just like a bit and a meme to jump on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like it was insane. Did we think
it felt like there was just people were like they saw the three cone or you know they just heard he couldn't run like wasn't agile and then saw his picture and then saw he was tall and heavy and they just made jokes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because he's been like he made these insane big plays at Ole Miss and now he's starting to do it in Seattle, and like we've talked about before, it's almost like every week he'll have at least one like wow play.
Yeah, like the fumble against Baltimore was like one of the worst plays I've seen this year, but he's been consistently good.
He's been one of the 10 best rookies in the league.
Agree. What was I gonna say? Another thing with Metcalf, the haters, it was like almost, I don't know, it was just reactionary. I thought it was stupid. Anyways.
Yeah, I think he's the perfect guy to compliment Tyler Lockett. He landed in the perfect situation too, I should add.
He did. He did.
And I don't know, like I think he's just gonna be one of the most exciting young big playmakers in the league going forward. We're starting to see more consistency from him. I absolutely love watching him.
Me too. Agree. Who do you got next?
So I put down three different dudes just because, you know.
That's what you do.
Yeah, that's what I do. Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
I think it's impossible. It's going to be impossible to vote against Josh Jacobs for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Agreed, yeah.
He carried the Raiders over the Lions, ran for .120, two scores. It's so consistent, his chunk running, and his combination of contact balance, short area quickness, and just burst. Like, when he wants to hit that second gear, he's going. And he just runs so violently. I comped him to Frank Gore. He looks like Frank Gore. I don't believe in drafting running backs in the first round, but he's exactly what they could have hoped for, and the perfect Gruden running back.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, John Gruden's got to be just so pumped that he's exactly what he hoped him to be.
Yeah. The only thing I will continue to say about him is I want them to start, like, getting some more consistency with him as a pass
catcher. In the pass game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And then I also threw Devin Singletary down.
Yep, I think those are the top three guys this week. I agree with
you. Yeah, it wasn't, honestly, it wasn't like the biggest rookie week by any means. Mm-hmm. Like, I think those three were the three best by, like, a fairly large margin.
Yep.
And yeah, Singletary, it was like they finally gave him the keys to the backfield.
Exactly, yeah. I threw Singletary's name down as looks like a hit for me. Because I was so high on him, and I just wanted to talk about him this week. I'm so happy that he's healthy, and like they finally let him take control of that backfield.
Yeah, ran for 95, added 45 more in the passing game. Yeah. Ripped off a
touchdown.
Yeah, big yards after catch on his first reception. He is. I still think they're gonna draft a guy to kind of pair with him.
I think that's fair.
And I think that's the smart thing to do because he can do so much damage in the passing game and the running game. So, like, adding, like, basically a guy to replace Frank Gore as your running back, too.
Name a name, Rob, off the top of your head, on the spot.
Let's get real physical. A.J. Dillon. Pure,
I respect.
Pure size.
A.J. Dillon will look good as a Buffalo Bill, I'll say that.
I don't know, because he's kind of like the explosive pass catcher guy, so adding, more interior, inside running type running back. Honestly, A.J. Dillon, day three, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, maybe Michael Warren?
Yeah, no, that'd be a good one, too. Because I don't think I want to be using too early, a day two pick on my...
No, I'm thinking, like, fifth round-ish.
Yeah, Michael Warren's a good guy to get in the fifth round.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Okay, worst rookie. I don't want to be mean, but who's the worst rookie you saw?
I hate our memes. Meanwhile, our mean superlatives. I went with a guy that the spotlight was on him, and I'm going with DeAndre Beaker in the Monday night performance.
I didn't think he played that poorly.
You know what?
The Amari Cooper touchdown, that was zone. People, like, he didn't... That wasn't on him. And the one the DPI I thought was a bad call. I thought it was. I didn't think he played that poorly.
I'll give him credit for fighting through it, but I thought on the whole it was not great.
I have another corner where I thought played a whole lot worse.
Hit me.
Trayvon Mullen for the Raiders.
Okay.
Not a great matchup for him either. No. Like Marvin Jones and Kenny G.
Yes.
But like those guys cook the Raiders corners. And yeah, Mullen he couldn't find the ball. He's getting lost downfield. And he's a guy who we already kind of thought was a project. And they trade Gerrion Conley for a third round pick and just kind of threw Mullen into the fire.
Yeah.
And it wasn't looking great against the Lions.
Like going back to Baker, I'll give him credit because like the start of the season was rough, and then he kind of
He strung a couple games together where he looked pretty decent.
Yeah,
like I'm not saying he had a good performance. I just think it was a little overblown how poor his performance was.
No, I that's fair. I thought he was bad, but I agree with you.
Can I throw another one out?
Sure, because you love being mean.
Clelin Ferrell. He's just not doing anything for the Raiders.
Are we 100% shocked?
No. And we never thought, if you go back and listen to our old episodes, we didn't think he was we thought he was like a guy you take in the, late teens, early 20s.
Exactly.
And he's going to be a very strong run defender, give you like 8 sacks.
8 to 10 sacks, exactly.
And be a strong locker room presence, obviously. And you don't just, he's added very little as a pass rusher.
Let me say, though, I think that last point you hit was the number one point for the Raiders, is the strong locker room presence. I think that's why
they're talking. A little early to spend a pick on that, though.
I'm not defending it. I'm just saying.
I know, yeah. Max Crosby is a more consistent pass rusher, and obviously they got him the fourth round. That's a hit for us, by the way.
Oh, yeah, big hit. Big hit.
And, I don't know. It's just not a great look.
No.
And they've had a very strong rookie class other than Ferrell and Mullen to this point.
It's true, yeah. I mean, Abram went down but was playing pretty decent too. And
yeah, no, he looked good in that one game.
Yeah, I know.
But, do you have any other for this? Because I have another.
Oh God, you're so mean. Okay, hit, go.
Mecole Hardman. Lost a fumble on a return. Didn't do anything as a pass catcher. Had a 7-yard jet sweep. He just like I like Mecole Hardman a lot. I think I liked him more than you did.
You did, yeah.
But I think there is gonna be times where if you're not scheming him the ball,
he's not doing much.
He's gonna disappear. Obviously, it doesn't help that Matt Moore's the quarterback, but that's just kind of how I felt in this game. They leaned much more on Sammy Watkins than Tyreek Hill. I'm not trying to crucify Mecole Hardman. He just didn't have a good performance this week. Obviously, he was on our all rookie team last week and has been one of the best rookies overall. But
feels like instead of calling him the worst rookie, you could just say it was an underwhelming performance, you meanie.
Oh, I had like 7 guys there. You know me. I'm just you hit the positives. I'm the negative guy. That's why this show works.
It's true.
Okay. My favorite superlative I came up with, because I come up with them all because I'm the best. Primetime rookie star.
I mean, kind of easy.
Not a good week for it, by the way. Just throwing that one out there.
Yeah, exactly. Not a good week, so it was kind of easy just to pick Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I also pick Kyler Murray. Because it's funny, because like Nick Bosa obviously played against that Cardinals team. And like Nick Bosa is the best rookie this season in...
Correct.
A fully defensive player of the year candidate.
Correct.
They did a good job on him, though.
They did.
I mean, he drew some holding penalty, but he was getting like chipped a lot and doubled.
Yeah.
And they focused on stopping him, and obviously it affected the game plan overall, but quieter night from him.
Yeah.
Oh.
They just wanted Kyler Murray to be the primetime star this week.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
That makes a whole lot of sense, yeah, so... He was, to me, the pretty clear primetime rookie performer.
Yeah.
Okay, underwhelming performance, just start being mean again.
See, I'm not even going to be that mean. Same. I'm going to the same game. I'm going with Deebo Samuel.
Yeah. No, that's a good one.
Yeah, he was 4 catches for 40 yards. So it's not like a terrible game, but he just left a lot on the field. It just felt like he could have had a better game. Drop. Bad drop.
That would have been a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. And I felt like I still feel like it. I mean, Manny Sanders in there, but like, there's definitely a bit of a vacuum at receiver, and that he could have filled that hole easily this year. And like, it's not like he's been bad, but I just hope that he could have been like more productive more soon. You know what I mean?
More consistent.
Yeah.
So a lot of the receivers, though. I think we got spoiled by some of the bait, like specifically Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf, but
yeah, and the early Hollywood,
the big play Mecole Hardman. Overall, this rookie wide receiver class is awesome.
It is.
I got 2 pass rushers actually.
Okay.
First, Brian Burns. He was very like unnoticeable against the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a game where Mario Addison wasn't playing, and so I think there was more focus on stopping Brian Burns.
Yeah,
and he couldn't really get anything going, and he's a guy who consistency is the key to him. He had a big splashy start to the season. He's kind of quieted down a bit,
for sure.
And then Josh Allen, the Jaguars edge rusher. I thought he kind of would tee off a bit against that Texans offensive line, but honestly, Tyus Howard looked pretty solid. I thought Tyus Howard and Max Sharping, they're 2 rookie offensive linemen, both played pretty well, and Josh Allen was kept fairly quiet.
I agree. I started him in fantasy, Rob. I thought he was going to have at least a sack, but yeah, you're right. Kept quiet by both guys. Maybe he's just not built for London.
Good point. See, that's not something I factored in. Rookies don't perform well if you play for the Jaguars in London.
It's true. Look at the history books.
Blake Bortles probably didn't.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm sure he didn't.
Okay, who you got for looks like a hit?
I said mine already because I wanted to talk about him. Devin Singletary, one of my favorite running backs in the class. Glad he's healthy. Glad he's given the keys to the backfield, like you said, Rob.
Just quickly, and he was crucified for his combine performance, and people got off that bandwagon. But you never,
not me.
You never did.
I know, because I didn't think it mattered too much. It was all like not to comp him to Dalvin Cook, but. It felt a little bit like that to me.
Dalvin Cook's one of the most explosive running backs in the NFL and had an awful combine.
Exactly. So,
I threw two down. Dalton Risner, just because I wanted to throw him somewhere on this list.
Fair enough.
He was just awesome again as a run blocker against the Browns. Yeah. He looks like, again, a future Pro Bowl guy, a guy I would have taken in the first round.
Fair enough. Yeah. Especially with like some of the offensive linemen that went in the first round.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Chris Lindstrom. I think we both felt like he was gonna be a plug and play guy, but yeah, it was a little early.
Like Lindstrom and Risner and Lindstrom, I had like on the same level, and obviously Lindstrom went like 14th, and Risner went 41st, I think.
Exactly. Yeah.
And yeah, so that was pretty wild.
Agreed. I felt like both, if you pick them in the 20s, you got like plug and play guys and you feel good about it, but yeah.
Yeah. And then my other, Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah.
He's just starting to really own the starting slot job for the Raiders. Carr looks really comfortable going to him in big third down moments. He had the touchdown.
Game winning touchdown, baby. Yep. Classic Hunter Renfrow.
And, I mean, he had the best hands in the draft class last year despite having small hands, so.
Sure. I got him as my best day three rookie, so I knew we were going to talk about him, and I'm glad we did. I slower start to the season. I'm glad he's starting to get more looks.
Yeah, the last like 2 weeks has been his two best games.
Correct. Yeah.
Looks like a miss for you.
Okay, this is more for the team that drafted him, and a bit for me. I had him in the late second round. He went in the late first, of course.
LJ Collier.
LJ Collier. Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, I said that as a joke. Damn, that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad, but it's correct. He can't even get on the field as a 24-year-old rookie on a team that's pass rush has been, I'll say, not good, Rob. So, it's a double miss.
This is tough. Back-to-back years, bad first-round picks for Schneider.
Yeah. I mean, well, sorry, not back-to-back, but this year at least.
What do you mean?
I'm joking. Love Sean Penny forever.
Oh, okay. I was legitimately confused. I also think Collier's struggles have been overshadowed partially because DK Metcalf's been awesome. If you flipped where they went, it makes a lot more sense in my head.
I 100% agree. So that's why I justified it on during the draft. So in my heart, I'm okay with that.
For me, my looks like a miss is a guy who... Not a guy I was high on and then is playing poorly. It's the other way around. A guy I wish I was higher on. Mm-hmm. Kari Willis, every week catches my eye for the Colts. I love watching him play against my Steelers this week. Wasn't his like biggest game by any means, but he just looks like he's going to be a really good starting strong safety for a long time.
Yeah, that one can apply to me as well. I think it was even lower on him than you were. So.
They took him and put him in the perfect role. I underestimated his instincts as well. Like, he's got some of the best instincts of any rookie safety I've seen in a while.
Which is, yeah, I didn't like his coverage ability, and I've been impressed with him, Ruff.
Who do you think needs to step up?
So, this is a bad week to say it, but I just want him, because he flashed it. I'm going with Noah Fant. Obviously, he had the big 75-yard touchdown. Only 3 catches, though. I just want him to be more consistent. And we've mentioned him before. He struggled with the drops. He's banged kind of open, but, like, just really bad drops. So, especially with no one playing quarterback for them. Sorry, Brandon Allen. I just want to see him to step up and be a consistent guy and just, like, even not the flashy plays. I'd rather just see him, like, you know, get 5 catches for 58 yards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like you said, not the best week to point it out.
Yeah,
but it's our first week. But also knowing that he can do that.
We see
other games where he catches one pass for 7 yards.
Exactly, yeah.
So just like, yeah, more consistency frustrating for him would be huge. Mm-hmm. For me, I put Ed Oliver.
I thought about Ed. Yeah,
yeah, he didn't look very good against Washington. Mm-hmm. The pass rush needs to start coming, I think, too. We talked about it on our all-rookie show where it was like he's really held up more as a run defender than some people were expecting him to. But the flash plays haven't come and the consistency as a pass rusher hasn't come. So
yeah,
I put him down. I also put Devin Bush down because he's a guy who definitely deserves a lot of the praise he's getting, but he has just been a liability covering tight ends.
Yeah, which is kind of surprised me because of the athleticism. I thought he did it pretty well at Michigan.
Yeah, he got cooked by Jack Doyle against the Colts, and that's been an every week type of thing. The best way to, like, the Steelers' defense overall has been playing really strong football as of late.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to attack them is use your tight ends down.
Tight ends.
Yeah, get the matchup with linebackers and take advantage of it.
See, I'm going to hold out hope and think Devin Bush puts it together on that front.
I think he will too. I just it's got to come quickly.
Soon.
Yeah. I was even thinking about starting Gerald Everett this week in fantasy just because the Rams are playing the Steelers.
You're so mean.
Yeah. Okay. Getting back to being really mean. Not ready to play. Who do you think? What rookies are playing that you just don't think are ready to play?
You know what? I'm not being that mean to him, but Jameel Dean had a struggle against DK Metcalf this week. But another corner that kind of fought through it, I just wanted to bring up because, like, I don't know if he should be playing, but because of the mess that is the Buccaneers secondary, he is.
Yeah, he was, like, very thrown into the fire because, like, he had, like, not played
until this week. He got picked on. Yeah, he got picked on a lot, but, like, he kind of fought through it pretty well, but, like, it's just, it's kind of unfair for him.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Obviously, Dwayne Haskins is, like, easy picking. I put his name down,
yeah,
it shouldn't really count. So I also put Chuma Adoga, the Jets tackle.
Fair enough. I liked Adoga.
I think too. He's doing good, but he's a guy who needs to be developed. He's struggled with penalties a lot. We know how wonderful his sweet feet can be. I think there's a lot of potential there. It also doesn't help that the whole, like, there's just nobody around him that's good on that offensive line.
It's very true.
Like, I still believe, like, I think he is the right tackle of the future for the Jets. Go draft Andrew Thomas. Get your left tackle. You get them both.
You're good.
Start building up. Maybe get one of these centers in the third round. You've already got Brian Winters at guard, who I think is, like, the one guy you can keep as a starting offensive lineman. And then it starts coming together a little better.
Agreed. Yeah, that makes sense.
Best day three rookie?
So I said Hunter Renfrow was my number one pick. But I'll go with a guy. I'll throw another guy's name in there. I thought Mack Wilson had a pretty good performance against the Broncos. Finally got his interception, which I think is where he's going to make his money as a pass coverage guy.
I think you pointed out on the All-Rookie show, he's just always around the football.
Yeah, exactly.
In this game, it was like he was starting to make plays from being around the football.
Exactly. Like, he led the Browns in tackles. It was only five, but he led them nonetheless. Exactly, yeah. And I just... Mack Wilson was one, like, an interesting guy because I think we both had him a lot higher than where he ended up being drafted. I think a lot of people did. Most people did. But for the coverage ability, and I'm glad that he's, like you said, always around the football. I think that's big for him.
I'm going to throw a different linebacker down here. Drew Tranquil.
Yeah.
My boy. Big punt block against the Packers. He's when he's been on the field defensively, he has been a very consistent run defender for them. The Chargers linebackers, it's a very strange, fun group of linebackers.
Yeah, for real. I mean, and Wosu last year, Kazir White, like, they just got a lot of
it's a bunch fun of guys that just like.
I know, that Chargers defense is almost like if we got to draft a defense. Yeah,
definitely. Also, I put down Justin School because it's just every week with him. He is being impressive as a sixth-round rookie left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think this is their replacement for Joe Staley. The more I see him play, the more I just come away like, he is so technically sound and he's just not struggling. Like, was fine against Terrell Suggs and Chandler Jones.
No, I cheated and put him as my out-of-nowhere rook just as a full season thing. And because he's losing his job this week because Staley's coming back. But I agree. Like, you think you have a guy that can be a long-term starter there, which is fucking nuts in the sixth round at tackle, right?
Yeah, like, I think a lot of people were worried when Staley went down.
Yes, definitely.
They didn't, like, skip a beat. It's very impressive what he's done.
Yeah, it is.
Best undrafted free agent rookie you saw?
a guy that went down, and I think we got to show him up because the season's over with the torn ACL. Preston Williams. 5 catches, 72 yards, 2 touchdowns. Been consistently solid on that terrible Dolphins team. Unfortunately, the season is over.
Look, but I think like a very strong rookie performance, and looks like he has the tools to be one of the top 3 receivers next season.
Agreed, yeah, for sure. I think he's got a role on that team going forward, like locked up.
Yeah.
I feel like Williams more like, I don't think he's ever going to become like a true one, but like a 2, I think. No,
yeah, like if they come away with like a CeeDee Lamb or a Ruggs or a Judy, and you've got to press him, and then you find that slot guy that you can trust,
you feel good about it.
Yeah. I also put down Malik Reed's name because he's my boy. He flashes when he gets in the game. I think he's got a bright future as a third pass rusher for the Broncos.
That's fair. No, he's looked good all season, looked good in the preseason. I like that pick.
Thank you. Rookie who flashed.
I went with a big name guy because we haven't seen too much. Got a sack in his game all against the Dolphins. I put Quinnen Williams' name here. You mentioned we haven't seen Ed Oliver flash too much.
Okay. So I'm just kind of happy. Quinnen Williams came unblocked on the sack. I'm going to say that.
I know, but at least he did it. We have to be disappointed with this season as a whole, right?
He's got time to step it. I mean, it didn't, like, he wasn't playing after, obviously he got injured. He wasn't playing a ton of consistent snaps, and then they moved Leonard Williams, so he should be going forward.
Yeah.
It's hard to, like,
I'm not criticizing him. No, I know you're not.
It's just, it's so hard for me. That team is such a mess that.
Dumpster fire, yeah.
Yeah. Teams were apparently calling the Jets about trading for Quinnen Williams.
Saw like, that, which is interesting. Yeah.
Imagine
it happened.
That'd be, I'd be so happy for him.
Me too.
Speaking of interior defensive line rookies, one of my guys who flashed, not statistically, but Jeffrey Simmons, just every week. He's just pushing the pocket against the Panthers.
I'm still blown away by how good he's been coming off that injury that we didn't think we'd see him come off this year. So
yeah. Also, you mentioned Noah Fant already. That 75-yard touchdown where he trucked Whitehead. And I don't think we need to talk about what happened to Whitehead afterwards.
Who?
And Isabella for his 80-yard touchdown.
Yes, for sure. I'm happy about that. I love Andy Isabella.
I know you do. I'm surprised you didn't have him as your immediate rookie of the week.
Yet. I thought you were going to say for Flash. Yeah, I should have had him rookie of the week. Fuck.
I hope that they get him involved more because just obviously it was a lot of yak on that play, but
yes,
he showcased that speed and knowing how well Kyler can throw the deep ball, seeing like a more consistent Isabella as a deep threat would be a lot of fun.
I mean, there's got to be like not just like Isabella, say like. I don't think it's just, like, Isabella not looking great. I think there's a reason Kingsbury's held off of him a bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he's... If we see him... I think we'll keep seeing him more and more. And like, because, like, Trent Sherfield is getting looks. So, I mean... Demir Bird. What is that offense?
Sherfield's a good special teamer. I'll give him that. Okay. He's your out-of-nowhere rook.
I hit mine already. I said school. And, like, I mean, can't keep saying this enough. It's just been so damn impressive. Staley's back, so he loses his gig, but he must feel so good with an aging Joe Staley and school there sitting on the bench going forward.
Yeah, like, big agree. I put Marvell Tell. He the last 2 weeks, he played the Steelers this week, obviously, so I was very invested in the game. He looked good at corner. Now, he's a guy who I hated at safety.
Yeah, you did.
And they drafted him and moved him to corner, and his length and athleticism, which the athleticism was never a question with him. Mm-hmm. He looked really clean and smooth, had a big PBU, and he looked better than Rocky Sin.
He had a big penalty, though, didn't he?
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
Like, keep in mind, like, he's a, what, 6th-round rookie?
No, I'm not. He's a good pick for out of nowhere. Yeah, absolutely.
No, I just, like, very, I think, because I think he's getting cooked. I mean, it helped that Mason Rudolph can't throw a football, but. Okay. He sucks. And finally, which rookie do you think should be starting? Who's your start the rook of the week?
So I went with a guy that's in a muddied situation right now. Drew Locke.
He's injured.
No, but I did some digging. He says he's ready to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My fantasy team sent a picture. It's true. Apparently, he's on IR, but he's eligible to come off already. He hasn't gotten practice reps, so realistically, he probably shouldn't start. But I mean, when the season's over, which it is, and you got Brandon Allen starting, you should get him in there and see what you've got, right? And
especially because they're a team that's going to most likely be picking the top 10 and potentially looking at a QB despite them having drafted him 42nd or whatever it was.
I was reading quotes from him.
This is a good pick now that you've given the context.
Yeah, I read an SI article about it. And he was saying he's kind of frustrated. I don't think he's criticizing the Broncos, but just saying he's frustrated because he never missed any time at Mizzou, and saying he feels good enough to play. But this might be a point where the doctors haven't cleared him. He just wants to tough it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting.
But I mean, I want to see him on the field this year.
I put down Charles Amenihue.
You know what? That was going to be my other pick.
He will, because with him, I mean, we've talked, there's been lots of hype over the flashes of him. With J.J. Watt out, just start him.
You know what? I think it's going to happen. He played the most snaps he's played all year. I looked at that. I think he played 59. I think it was 59% of the snaps. So that's a good way, it's trending up.
Yeah, he just... His tools are so sexy, dare I say. And
he's every flash week he's when he's been flashing. On the field. Exactly, exactly.
And there's just a whole lot more I think you're going to get out of him than a guy like Carlos Watkins, for example.
No, I agree. They're playing some meh guys on the defensive line. Get him on the field more.
Yeah.
It's like Jacob Martin's playing a lot. I know it's at the edge, but still. Anyways, get him on the field. All right, that's the first time we've gone through the superlatives. That was fun, Rob. You will get that every single week. Before we get to our picks, support for Armchair comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Rob, you think I'm making this up, but for the first time in my life, I actually had an accident while working down there.
The first Looked time? Down, I have one every week.
You know, because I'm so scared. I don't have Manscaped yet. I'm waiting for it to arrive, and it can't come soon enough. I'm a little scared down there, and I always kind of just do a shitty job and ignore it. And this time I looked down and saw red and fucking panicked. So once Manscaped shows up, I'll no more of that. And that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts, which literally just happened to me and still kind of hurts. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past, baby. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls, because that's fucking gross. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, something else I really want. It is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits, so why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body, Rob? Yeah, you heard me. Oh. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for your job. Your balls will thank you. And before we get to our picks and previews for this week, all our spreads are from who else but MyBookie. All you got to do is use promo code CHAIR when you sign up. They'll double your initial deposit. That's if you add $1,000... they'll give you another $1,000. It's amazing. Also, I'd say parlay every single game. You can't lose that way. The payout would be massive. And then you can tell everyone about it. And no one cares, but you'll feel good talking to people about it. So visit MyBookie online today at mybookie.ag. Use promo code CHAIR. They're doubling your offer. And let's get into our picks and previews. Rob, how were you last week?
I went 4-8. Don't trust anything I say about the NFL.
Because we didn't have the Mahomes game on the board. I give that a loss because I said I'm taking the Chiefs if they play, and the spread was 5. I think I should. You know, you should give yourself a win for that one.
Okay, 5-8. That sounds a little better.
What was the other game that you didn't? Did we miscount? I got 6-8. I don't know. I'm bad at counting.
You went.
We'll figure it out.
There was 14 games.
Mm-hmm. I'm 6-8. That's 14, right? I think 12, 13, 14. Wait, yeah. What? You missed a game, Rob.
12, 13, 14. 15. Oh, then I'm 6-8.
Hey, we did this with the same.
Heck yeah. Work.
I started off hot that week and last week, and I just finished shit. On byes this week, it's a big bye week. Broncos, Pats, Eagles, Washington, Jags, and Texans. Let's get into it. Thursday Night Football, Chargers are -1.5, taking on the Raiders.
It's tough. The Raiders are playing really well lately, but the Chargers just gave it to the Packers and looked like the team we thought they could be. I think the Chargers have a chance to go on a little run here. I'm going to take the Chargers to cover.
Okay, I feel the same way. The Chargers usually kind of turn it on late in the season. But like, I feel like I shouldn't trust them because they always bamboozle us. But I'm taking the Chargers. But I'm going to get bamboozled. And it's going to hurt. 1 p.m. on Sunday. Lions at Bears. Chicago's -2.5.
Yeah, I don't trust anything Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky are doing. I'm going to take the Lions. They had a tough loss to the Raiders, obviously. But they seem to be in every game.
They are, yeah.
Matt Stafford's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this year. If they were winning more games, I think he'd be in the MVP conversation. So I will take the Lions to cover.
You know, I'm gonna change on the fly. I went back and forth on this game. I'm gonna finalize picking the Lions too. Just because it's so hard to trust those Bears right now. Ravens -10.5 in Cincinnati.
I don't think I can love myself if pick I the take Bengals? The Bengals and Ryan Finley to cover against Lamar.
Agreed.
Lamar Jackson is the most exciting quarterback in a long time since Patrick Mahomes.
It's a long time. How excited are you, scale of 1 to 10, to talk about Ryan Finley next week, though?
Like, because he's somehow going to string together like a pretty good game. And then like people would be like, is he the future? Should the Bengals draft Chase Young and not a quarterback? And then we're going to have to like talk about that. And then like, but Ryan Finley's actually just like a worse Andy. Like, if you took away all of Andy Dalton's athleticism and arm strength, then you get Ryan Finley.
Fucking drag him on the coals, baby. Before any performance for Ryan Finley this week, I will say he's a month younger than Jared Goff. That's it.
Yeah, he's so old. That's the best part.
So, the battle of the B teams on the Great Lakes. Bills at Browns. The Browns are -2.5.
Until Freddie Kitchens is out, I'm done trusting the Browns. I will take the Bills. It's going to be a slogger knocker. Is that a knocker word? I think it's a close game. Bills win. Like, I'm talking like 10-6.
I feel like it's a little disrespectful to favor the Browns in this game.
I think so, too.
Give me the Bills plus the points. They've been clearly the better football team this year. And even when the Browns, like, Mile High is a tough place to play, sure, but you're playing Allen. Like, if you can't beat Brandon Allen, you're not going to beat Josh Allen. Put that on a postcard and mail it. I don't know what that means. Kansas City at Tennessee. There's no line again because the unsure stats of Patrick Mahomes. Right now, it looks like he's going to play, though. So,
even if he doesn't, I'm taking the Chiefs no matter what the line is, no matter who's at quarterback.
Okay, I agree with you. I'm taking the Chiefs. What do you think the line's going to be if no Mahomes?
I'm going to say pick them.
2.5, 3 for the Titans?
Pick them.
That much or no?
Pick them.
Yeah? Okay. Either way, I agree with you. I'm taking the Chiefs. Falcons at Saints. New Orleans is -13.5.
Yeah, the Falcons are done. Dan Quinn's about to come off the bye and just get destroyed by the Saints.
Yeah. Agree. If it was 23.5, who would you take?
Saints.
I should be your bookie. Yeah, I'll take the Saints to cover the points.
My bookie's my bookie.
I know. I should be my bookie. That's what I'm saying. Ooh. Shit. The Battle of MetLife. This game should have a name. It happens once every 8 years, but it doesn't matter. Giants -2.5, playing the Jets. At the Jets somehow.
Yeah, I love how like that it counts as a Giants road game.
Yeah, it's pretty unfair, but again, they alternate every 8 years, so
like
whatever.
But the fact that this counts as a Giants a road game, but like the Jaguars have to take a London game as a home game. That's such a shaft.
But you know what? They should make the Giants use a visitor locker room. I don't know if they do, but they should.
It's a good point.
I'm sure they don't.
I will take the Giants to cover.
Again, yeah, it's not a road game.
Jets are a complete mess. The Giants aren't in great shape, but at least they can, like, be in games.
You compete.
The Jets lost to the Dolphins. I don't know what's happening.
They should have fired Adam Gase after that game.
But anyways, both Shurmur and Gase will be fired after this game. That's my prediction.
You know, they should just announce it. Whoever wins keeps their job for at least another week.
That's smart.
And get some marketing going and call it the MetLife Bowl or something. Yeah, I don't know. You like that, eh? Cardinals at Bucks. Buccaneers are -4.5. Oh, I'm taking the Giants too. Sorry, I didn't even say.
Yeah, I figured. I will take the Cardinals to cover.
Also, for me, yeah.
Like, Jameis can't not, like, even when he's having a great game, he can't not just have an insane turnover.
There were so many interceptions he wanted to throw against the Seahawks that just didn't happen.
Kyler and Cliff have this thing getting better and better. Kenyon Drake's a huge addition. The Bucs defense is such a mystery to me. I believe in Kyler.
I do too, and I think like if you keep giving me a handful of points against the Cardinals, I'm gonna keep taking them against bad teams at least. Speaking of bad teams, the Miami Dolphins are in Indianapolis playing the Colts. Indy's -10. Only 3-4 o'clock games, which kind of sucks.
I know the Dolphins are coming off their big win, and that's the only one they want to have. Brian Hoyer's playing, and the Colts are still favored by 10. That's kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy. I'm still going to take the Colts, but that's kind of crazy. Brian Hoyer did look good against Pittsburgh, other than the Minka Fitzpatrick pick six, but...
it's true, yeah.
Roll Colts. You know I love my Colts when they're not playing my Steelers.
Yeah, I'm also taking the Colts. Fuck it. Why would I trust the Dolphins? Panthers at Packers. Green Bay is -5.5.
I will take the Packers because I believe in the Packers. Cam's done for the Panthers. The talk of like him being done as a Panther is kind of wild to me.
That's a little jumping the gunny to me.
Yeah, but like people are acting like it's gonna, like it's definite. It's weird. Kyle Allen's not good. Like he's a good backup, but he's not a starting quarterback.
No, we've talked about this before. Like Kyle Allen's clearly not your long-term answer, but I can understand not wanting to invest in Cam Newton again, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm also taking the Green Bay Packers. They should cover. Easy, to be honest. Rams -3.5 in Pittsburgh, which was supposed to be a good game.
I'm going to take the Steelers to cover. The Rams offense has been super inconsistent this year.
Yeah.
I don't believe in Mason Rudolph at all, but the Steelers defense has played pretty good football. I think they'll be in the game. I don't think they'll win. I think they'll be in the game. I mean, this mistake of taking the Colts last week against my Steelers, I'm not making that mistake again.
Fair enough. I'm taking the Rams. Coming off the bye, they got to come out firing, man. Sunday Night Football, Minnesota against the Cowboys. Interesting, I guess. Dallas is -3.
I will take the Cowboys. Dak's playing at a top 10 quarterback level right now. Kirk Cousins doesn't show up in big games in prime time.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like
fuck.
This would be the week those weird Kirk Cousins MVP sayers are like crucified.
Fuck, yeah, I forgot about the Kirk not showing up. I might change my pick. Because, like, I don't trust the Cowboys much either, and I like the Vikings roster, but yeah. Fuck it, I'm flipping. I'm taking the Cowboys too. And Monday Night Football, undisputed game of the week, Rob. I don't care what you say. Seahawks, F49ers, San Fran's -6.
Six is too much for a primetime NFC West division game.
Damn straight, Rob.
I'm taking the Seahawks to cover. I actually don't know who will win. But, like, Russell Wilson is the NFL MVP right now, so 6 feels like a lot for the 49ers. I'm belligerently excited we have a good Monday Night Football game.
Agreed. On all fronts, I'm scared of that Niners pass rush against the Seahawks offensive line. I think if the Seahawks aren't within 6 points of the Niners, that's what happens, is that they just dominate. But I'm taking the Seahawks because I have to, and Fuck it, I'm going to say that. I think they win the game.
Wow, respect.
It's a big jinx now. But, yeah, I think they win the game. I'm too excited about the Seahawks. I can't believe they're 7-2. Anyways, Ralph, yeah. Get us out of here.
Yeah. And at least my Steelers have Minka. That's what I always say.
It's true. Did you order the jersey yet?
No, I'm going to. I'm going to keep saying I'm going to, and then never will. Thanks for listening to Seven Rounds in Heaven. You can listen to us every Wednesday and Thursday. Obviously, Wednesday show, NFL Draft Prospect Talk. Thursday show, NFL Rookie Talk. We got you covered. Follow AG on Twitter at AGMarcusE13. Follow me at RobPaulNFL. Go to Armchair Media Network. Listen to other sports podcasts. Or read my NFL draft articles. Roll action.